Now, state lawmakers are working on legislation that would overhaul the way public school students in Wisconsin are taught how to read. Among other changes, it would shift the state from its current reading education system known as balanced literacy and instead implement what's called a science of reading approach that's more phonics-based. Assembly Republicans modeled parts of the plan after a similar change in Mississippi that saw fourth grade reading test scores improve in that state. Governor Evers' office said he wouldn't sign the bill in its current form, in part because of concerns over a requirement that students would have to repeat third grade reading lessons if they test poorly at that age. We're learning more about how children learn to read and what impact this legislation could have, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think Wisconsin needs to change the way we teach reading to students? What changes, if any, would you like to see? Would you support a switch back to more of a phonics-based system? Parents, teachers, students love to hear from you about this. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Mark Seidenberg is Vilas Professor and Donald O. Hebb Professor of Psychology at UW-Madison. He researches how children acquire reading skills and how the science of reading can help improve educational performance. Mark, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, glad to be here.
And Rich Halverson is Professor of Educational Leadership and Policy Analysis at the UW-Madison School of Education. Rich, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Can you start us off, Rich, by kind of defining the two broadly different approaches to reading that we're calling balanced literacy and science of reading?
Well, yeah, thank you for the invite to talk about this. I feel like this is sort of a false dichotomy. Mm-hmm. There's the idea of balanced literacy is a balance of how we teach literacy. And one of the problems with the idea of balanced literacy is that it's not very well defined. So the kinds of skills and the kind of practices that get included in balanced literacy vary from district to district and classroom to classroom. And I think one of the big contributions that the science of reading has done for us in recent years, largely led by Professor Seidenberg's work, is to help us specify the kinds of skills and practices that are necessary to help early readers gain proficiency in reading. So I don't really see that there's a contrast between balanced literacy and the science of reading if a balanced literacy approach includes the key components that have been researched recently in the science of reading.
Mark, can you talk about those key components? What do we know from research is key for at least most kids in getting those initial skills?
I have to speak first to a point about which I disagree with Rich a lot. I think it's pretty clear what balanced literacy is. It's been around for about 30 years. And the legislation that's proposed in Wisconsin and that's been adopted in about 35 other states is trying to correct the problems that ensued when there was wholesale adoption of the approach that's called balanced literacy, whole language. So I think it's pretty clear what that involves. And we're not talking about adding a little phonics component to an existing approach that was otherwise successful. It was not otherwise successful. If it had been successful, we wouldn't be having this discussion. And also, you know, we wouldn't be in a situation in which we're asking state governments in Wisconsin, like in many other states, to solve instructional issues for us. It should have been that we were able to come up with these kinds of solutions on our own, working with various people in education and people in science working together, and that did not happen. So this is really a pretty clear rejection of traditional whole language. It is based on the idea that kids who are starting to read actually need some instruction in order to get off the ground, and they won't just pick it up the way that they were assumed to pick it up in the whole language kind of approach. It does include some phonics, which is teaching kids about how spelling relates to spoken language, but it's not just about phonics. It's about all of those basic skills that you need in order to be able to recognize printed words and understand them individually and in combinations that make for meaningful sentences. So the instruction with young children has to focus on them learning about this new code that represents language in a new way so that they can kind of get off the ground and begin to benefit from print and learn from their own kinds of reading experiences.
So, Rich, Mark making the case that there is a bigger distinction. It's not so much of a continuum, at least as practiced under state laws now. What do you think?
Again, I think that balanced literacy is a generic term. And in the, you know, in the 2000s and the early 2010s, I did a number of studies in the state of Wisconsin about data-driven instruction in schools. And much of the data-driven work was focused on improving early literacy practices. And most of the schools that we looked at had adopted a balanced literacy approach, but have focused on programs like the Orton-Gillingham approach and structured literacy approaches as part of their balanced literacy perspective. I think what's happened over time, especially during COVID, is that there's parts of literacy instruction that have traditionally required lots of intense interaction between students and learners. And then there's other parts of literacy instruction that are more student-driven, where students will read and they will express themselves, writing and performance and so forth. And what happened during the COVID pandemic was there was a drop-off in schools' ability to deliver the sort of rich interpersonal work that is a highlight of the many aspects of the science of reading approach. And I really think that the bill that is under discussion helps to restore those practices to the forefront of our reading instruction and really create a kind of literacy programs that work for all children.
Mark, do you see this, our current concerns about reading, as being largely driven by what we lost during COVID? Or were you, you were concerned about this, I think, pre-COVID. Could you share what you thought even before those COVID-related disruptions?
Well, COVID just made things worse. But, you know, the issues that we're talking about have existed in this country and in this state for a very long time, with people writing about it and trying to change practices in education over several decades. The reform movement finally caught fire this time because, not because of COVID, it was catching fire before that. There's much more public awareness of the issues, how serious they are. There's much more awareness of how the practices, the ways in which popular practices were based on mistaken assumptions about how reading works and how children learn. One of the things about social media and the internet is that you can get information about what's going on much more easily than you could in 1980 or 1990. So the situation has basically been the same. There's always been, for as long as people have been collecting the data, a very large percentage of children who are not reading at grade level, who are not reading adequately for their ages, and especially and certain populations being especially at risk, namely kids from lower income backgrounds and minority kids. So this is a longstanding problem, and then COVID came along and was a disaster that made all of these things even worse. Where everyone is trying to get back on a firm footing. What's happening in Wisconsin is really following what's happened in many, many other states. We're kind of coming in relatively late here, which perhaps that'll be a good thing because we can benefit from the experiences in other states. But there's a feeling that enough is enough. There are too many kids who are just not being taught to read. They're just expected to kind of get it. And that wasn't sufficient. And, you know, many of the practices about literacy and understanding texts and being able to ask questions about texts and so on that were a highlight of balanced literacy and whole language and so on, that's going to be appropriate when the kid can already read. That is, they already have the ability to read a book at a grade level and understand it and start to ask questions about it. So I think we're seeing a really wholesale rejection of very longstanding approaches, and legislation has turned out to be, you know, a key element in that. I think it's also a pretty blunt tool. And so, you know, just allocating money to this and stipulating that kids will be taught to read appropriately isn't sufficient. This bill is a good thing. It's an investment in elementary education and literacy, but it faces, you know, there's no off-the-shelf solutions here. We're going to need to be able to train coaches to help teachers in schools. They're going to change the curricula that are used, but, you know, I think that's mainly a that's mainly trying to avoid the really bad stuff. It's not as though there's something really terrific on the shelf that everybody should obviously adopt. There's a need for new kinds of the curricula that are in the classrooms, the books, the support materials to also reflect this kind of research and what we know about learning and reading. But that'll come in due time. In the meantime, yes, this is an investment in trying to get more effective instruction to kids at the onset of reading when they really, when they're at a crucial point in development.
Talking to UW-Madison psychology professor Mark Seidenberg and UW-Madison educational policy professor Rich Halverson about new legislation that would change the way reading is taught in Wisconsin. Very long story short, more phonics involved in that, at least as envisioned by lawmakers. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What, if anything, do you think needs to change when it comes to teaching reading, especially at the earliest ages in school? If you teach reading, if you have kids in school, if you are a student yourself, what kind of things do you see working or not working? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up the conversation on reading education in Wisconsin and a proposal by Assembly Republicans to change the way we teach students to read. Our guests are from UW-Madison, psychology professor Mark Seidenberg, educational policy professor Rich Halverson. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Dory is with us in Madison. Dory, hi.
Hi. I'm calling because I'm actually an ethnographer who has been talking to teachers in public schools across Wisconsin. And I've read Professor Seidenberg's work, and I know he has concerns about listening to teachers. But the teachers that I've talked to have been concerned about the replacement of whole language with approaches that are almost exclusively phonics. And I haven't talked to a single teacher who objects to including phonics in a reading program. They're all on board with that. But stories are being squeezed out of reading programs, and I actually have talked to teachers who have been scolded for reading stories to their children in class, and they have children who, in their classes, who have not been read to at home, who don't understand that reading is more than decoding.
Dory, I gotcha. Thanks for the call. Mark, a concern that, you know, if we go only phonics, really, or if we're going too far, that's an overcorrection.
Yeah, that would be a problem if someone was actually proposing that, but of course they're not. I said a couple of minutes ago, there is an element of phonics in here. The main thing is getting the child the basic kind of foundational skills that include vocabulary, understanding print, being able to spell, a lot of the basics that will then allow the kid to do more interesting and elaborate things with meaningful texts. I don't have a problem talking with teachers. In fact, I'm very, very interested in what teachers say. And what I hear from teachers is that they feel underprepared for the job and that they are supposed to figure out how to teach reading on the job. And that is an extra burden that we place on them, in addition to the many other things we are asking them to do. So what I hear from teachers is that they would like additional guidance. And yes, mandating that certain things be taught is clumsy. That's why I'm not really a fan of legislative solutions. But this is where we are. And we're going to start by doing some really basic things that are important. And hopefully we'll monitor what we're doing and improve and get to the place we really want to be.
Thanks for that call, Dory. Rich, could you talk about the challenges of taking a model, whether it's from legislation or research-based or whatever, and, you know, making sure that teachers are ready and prepared to take it into the classroom?
Yeah, I can. I totally agree with Professor Seidenberg's comments about preparation here. I really believe that our teachers need to know more about how to teach reading. I do think there's sort of like a, not a subtext, but a surrounding narrative going on here. Since about 2012, the state legislature has cut about $4 billion from the education budgets of districts around the state. And now they're considering a $50 million addition to support a specific curricular intervention that they're interested in. And I think to a lot of teachers and to a lot of people in public schools, this sounds disingenuous. You know, like if the legislature hadn't been cutting all along and had been trying to shape the direction of reading instruction while funding schools, this would be a whole different conversation. But I think some of the resistance that's happening here is because it seems a little bit like, now that the legislature has an instructional focus, now they're willing to give a little bit of money and resources. And really what they're proposing is a lot of assessment and 64 coaches, which, given the number of students who struggle to read in our schools in the state, is a pretty small investment in this really important issue.
Thanks again for that call at 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Phyllis is with us in the town of Dunn. Phyllis, hi.
Hi. Well, I totally agree with Professor Seidenberg about the urgency of changing from the current methods. And I want to recommend a different method, not phonics, that worked for me. In 2000, my son was 9 and doing homeschooling, and he hadn't learned to read. And so another mother suggested this book to me called Reading Reflex, and it's put out by Read America, Inc., and they call their method phonographics. And this book gives you just step-by-step instructions. There's things you cut out and use, and it worked so well, so quickly. And then later I taught the neighbor boy to read who was in second grade and he couldn't really read at all, using this. And they have another book called
Phyllis, I got you. We don't have a ton of time. Mark, phonographics, I'm not familiar with that. Is that something you've come across?
There are a lot of programs out there, and people who adopt them in order to teach their own children can often do things that are not possible to do in a classroom. So I'm glad that lady was successful, and I believe that she was successful. But, you know, we're talking about choosing a curriculum. Look, the solution is not going to be in the curriculum that are sold. You have to have a curriculum in the classroom to provide some guidance for the teacher so they're not just making it up as they go along. However, the curricula have been a part of the problem. They've reinforced some really mistaken ideas about how learning works, for example, and how reading works. So the solution is ultimately not going to come from the curricula. It's going to come from teachers who have better training and who have better understanding of certain things that they missed out on when they were taught. Rich did mention something important, though. The version of the bill that I saw really was so top heavy on assessment. You know, in the No Child Left Behind days, people were really unhappy about the amount of testing that had to be done in classrooms and how intrusive it was and how distorting it was. I felt that the version of the bill that was being circulated was way top heavy on assessment, as though if you just keep testing the kid every 3 months or something, you'll get such precise information, you'll know exactly what to teach. I don't think that is quite right. There are more efficient ways to do things. Yes, you have to track kids' progress, but no, you don't want to be just disruptive. So there are things in the current bill, assuming it's still under discussion, that I would change. I also think that they are recommending an investment in a particular kind of professional development program that's called Letters. Letters is used in many states. It's the one that has been around the longest. I think it's really pretty deeply flawed. And so I'd recommend that they actually look to some other approaches that are around. This is for providing additional professional development for teachers who are already on the job.
Thanks again for that call, Heidi. Rich, I wanted to ask about one aspect of this bill as it stands. At one point, it had been, hey, if the third grader can't pass a particular test, they repeat third grade. That's been modified to they repeat the third grade reading program. This seems like a sticking point between the legislature and the executive branch. Your thoughts on that, Rich?
Yeah, definitely. This is a huge issue in this proposed legislation. And I think we have to remember that schools are instructional spaces, but they're also social spaces. It's where young people learn to be together. And it's a great difficulty within a school if everybody knows if you're held behind. And the stigmatization that comes with being held behind because you haven't passed a test affects all of your education moving forward. So I feel like I agree with Professor Seidenberg's insights that what we need are high quality professional development opportunities to help teachers learn the skills of the science of reading so that all children can benefit at their grade levels. This idea of holding kids behind on one aspect of schooling creates way more damage than solutions that it provides.
Mark, in our last couple minutes, I saw on your website you wrote, you're all for changing our reading education in more phonics, more fundamental ways in the early years. But you have a concern that people will just have catchphrases, phonics based or science of reading, and kind of embrace them as an empty shell and lose track of what is actually working, what is actually proven by research. In our last minute or so, can you expand on that a bit?
That's a big challenge. So what we've done is we have a great deal of enthusiasm building an education around a very important idea. There's a lot of research about child development and reading and language that can be drawn upon to develop more effective ways to teach more children successfully. There's not much expertise in this kind of research in education, whether it's the publishers, the schools of education, the people in the DPI who decide what kinds of materials to buy, there isn't a lot of expertise. So what we're seeing is a great deal of enthusiasm around finding out about this research and trying to make good use of it. But it's a kind of, the door is not very wide open yet because people just don't have the background. So it's going to be slow. And my concern is that people will declare victory prematurely. Yes, using this research to improve instruction for all is a great idea. Implementing it is still the challenge. And indeed, I think what we're doing now is kind of on the right track, but it's just interim solutions. So we're going to have to keep working on this for quite a while to get it right.
We'll leave it there. Thanks to both of our guests, Mark Seidenberg, professor of psychology at UW-Madison, and Richard Halverson, professor of educational leadership and policy analysis at the UW-Madison School of Education. They joined us today to look at the potential impact of state legislation that would change the way that reading is taught here in Wisconsin.